What does it take to create and sustain success? Today, I have Tyler on the podcast, and we have an amazing episode, and it's mostly mindset because we both have this understanding that if you don't have a clear mindset, it's going to be hard to be successful with your real estate investing, let alone anything else in life. And even if you are successful, you might not even feel that level of success or be able to sustain that success. I have no doubt that you're going to enjoy some of the vulnerable parts of the conversation and some of the joyful parts of the conversation. It's so endearing and inspiring. And so stick around to the end of the episode to get the final gems for sure. Remember, if you haven't already subscribed, you can subscribe. It's free, absolutely free. And it helps promote Ask Me How I Know, and so that it reaches more people. And it's just a great way that you can support the podcast. So thank you for doing that. Thanks for sharing. And let's get into it. Wait. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing episode of Ask Me How I Know. It seems that I've been having a lot of great conversations with people within the real estate investing space that are also really passionate about mindset. And I am so stoked to have you on the podcast, Tyler. Welcome to Ask Me How I Know.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm so stoked to be on the podcast. I am. I'm grateful for the opportunity. And we were talking a little bit off camera, and I told her that she asked me forever ago, and I feel like I've been chomping at the bit to get on and have the opportunity. So thank you very, very much.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure. And for anyone listening, if you're not on YouTube watching this, which I don't really promote it that much, but you can see a pigmentation difference. And that also reflects like a difference of our geography, very far north Idaho, up on the Canadian border and out in the tropics. So I'm glad that everybody gets to enjoy life because I'm a mountain girl. So I'm like, oh, this is nice. My space, but I'm glad that you were in your space too.
Oh, I love it. That's the thing. The world has so much beauty to offer. I love to travel, man. And I love Maui. I love waking up here every morning and seeing the beauty, but I love traveling other places. And, you know, I was just in Utah and the mountains, like the whole time, I was just like, geez, these mountains are just gorgeous. You know,
isn't it amazing? I think when you live life with that, just, accepting everything around you as like, oh my gosh, look how beautiful. I was out mountain biking last night and they were like kind of joking around, like teasing me because I'm hooting and hollering. And I pull up to the group at like just one of those little, let's make sure everybody's not broken and bleeding and dying and regrouping. and they're like, hey, is that you? Some of the new riders. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, we're alive. Like we're here in these mountains and we get to mountain bike. Like what a privilege we have. What a blessing.
Okay. I'll tell you how much I relate to that because I love to go surfing. Anytime there's a swell, I'll go surfing in the morning. And what I love about that is there are multiple times where I'll like be catching a wave and I'll be like, God, he's like, woo! Like, it's just like, it's just amazing, right? Or I'll crash and wreck and just like look like an idiot. And then I just start laughing like, oh my gosh, it makes me laugh. You know, I look at Haleakala in the background and I'm just like, it puts me in awe. And it's like all those emotions, you know, first thing in the morning, it's the best.
You know, it is a bit, okay. So I wasn't even going to go here, but now that we have this connection, do you notice this connection between like personal growth and development, just mindset and everything with what you were doing physically? Because I know like if I'm out pushing physically uphill, like everything I do with mountain biking or whatever I'm doing in the mountain wilderness, it pushes me so intensely and I have to have that. And it just like pulls things out that I didn't know were inside of me.
Yeah. Oh, totally, man. I don't know where I picked this up or how I, or maybe it's natural. I don't know, but I don't know. I love to have fun first off. And I love to be happy also. So, but I will say like, I'll be out surfing or doing anything physical, like you just said. And if I'm struggling through, we usually have one of two reactions. We either are frustrated, right? Gosh, damn. Like, why can't I figure this out? Right. Yeah. Or you just laugh like, oh my gosh, like, look at me. I'm trying to figure this out. But here's what's interesting. When I find myself laughing, I'm having fun. And then guess what happens? You figure it out because you're focused. You're just having fun. You're enjoying it. And, you know, then physically you get through whatever it is that you're trying to get through. So it's, and that applies to anything. You know, I do this, I teach some 3-day real estate training classes every now and then. And I do this activity where it's challenging for people, and I'll see them working in groups, and some people will just be so frustrated and they'll even like slam a pen down. And then you'll see other people like literally just laughing like, oh my gosh, what am I can't find it. I can't see it, you know, but those people find it and see it because they're laughing.
It's interesting. Like the endorphins that are released through laughter. So I've always tried to like, you know, you get hurt, injured, like, whatever, if you default to laughter, it definitely just releases different endorphins and helps you see in so much clarity.
Totally. Absolutely agree. It's a life hack for sure.
Life hack. Well, let's talk about some life hacks for sure. You know, there's a lot of clutter in people's heads, don't you think? Like, oh yeah, I call it stinking thinking, but that's kind of, you know, because I used to teach elementary school and everything. But, you know, what are some strategies? Because I look at what you've accomplished with your real estate investing and where you began and where you, you know, the lifestyle that you've created for you and your family. And it's what most people look at you and they'd say, oh my gosh, he's an anomaly. He's living the dream. And they have all the excuses and the clutter just like flourishing. I picture Pigpen from Charlie Brown, right? Like it's like Pigpen in their head. So how did you overcome? Because I don't believe that anybody's really that special. We're all humans and we have hard wiring. And so we all kind of have this Pigpen thing going on. And some of us learn how to manage Pigpen. So I'm wondering if that relates, if you had that kind of going on in your head at some point in your life. And if you did, how did you overcome?
Always. There's no matter where you're at in life. I mean, so first off, yes, always. No matter where you're at in life, if you're trying to grow, growth is hard at any level. And, you know, so anytime if you don't have those uncertainties, right? If you don't have those doubts in your head or, you know, the stinking thinking in your head, you're probably not growing. I mean, growth at any stage is hard, and it's growth for a reason. And if you've never done something like that, or trying something new or trying something hard, there's going to be uncertainties, you know? I love with what you said, because I feel like, meaning that people just think that maybe he's an anomaly or you're an anomaly or whoever. And anytime you have somebody that is speaking or teaching or on stage or whatever, you just feel like that person just has it all figured out.
They figured it out. I mean, like They're the one person.
That's it. Yep. That's it. And it's just not true. You know, it's just, I mean, obviously we know that, right? It's not true. You know, people will say a lot of the times that I'm, you know, that I'm confident. You come off confident, right? And that's great. I like to portray that in the outside world as much as possible. But, you know, your initial question is like, how do we get through that? Or what do we do? And it's all confidence is, well, first off, the word confidence means with faith, right? With faith. And so it essentially means that you're projecting best case scenarios into the future, right? Into the world. And fear is the opposite of that. Fear is the negative side of faith, right? Fear is projecting the worst case scenario into the world. And so confidence comes from hope and belief. And I'm spiritual. I don't know, you know, your listeners, they believe in God, the universe, whatever, but I'm spiritual. I believe, you know, that God loves me and that, you know, he wants the best for me. And that gives me a hope for the future. And so no matter what I'm doing in my life, whether I'm getting on a podcast or about to teach a class or about to close a real estate deal or going to go deal with my kids or trying to build a relationship with whoever, whatever I'm doing in my life, I believe that God is with me in all those things, you know, and that gives me confidence and that gives me hope and for, you know, projecting the best future out there. And so I literally, I feel like that's my greatest strength or tool, I guess, that I can use is hope for the future, because I know that, and you know, which is confidence, and it's because I have hope for the future. So I don't know if that answers that.
Oh my gosh. No, but that's really interesting. I that resonates with me. I love God. And that is like, I look at all the wins and losses that I've had in life, and I've had some really, really devastating things that should have devastated me sort of losses. And it's just like, well, but I have this hope that transcends, like, okay, well, I have this life here and now, but I have a greater hope. And that just makes me think, like, well, just do your best over here on this side of heaven. And there's more. And so it's like, we can just keep going.
That's it. And you know, the reality is life is going to throw us curveballs. Like, it's not always just this, you know, rainbows and sunshine. Like, there are going to be times where bad things happen. That's just the reality, you know, but you can, in those times, I feel like you can, you know, approach it a couple ways. You can be, you know, the victim of a situation, or you can be the, you know, the creator of a situation. And, you know, growing up, my mom was just the epitome of that, man. Like, my mom, before I ever read any books about mindset or positivity or, you know, law of attraction, any of that stuff, like, I watched my mom, you know, just utilize that to change our lives. My parents split up. My dad was running a business and, you know, ended up moving out of the country. And so my mom was left with, you know, these four kids and raising them all on her own. And it was just a challenging time. I mean, all of a sudden she's having to work multiple jobs and trying to take care of multiple kids. And that's challenging. Like, there's nobody that's going to look at that situation and be like, well, just smile
and keep your head up. Come on, honey.
You're going to be okay. You'll get through it. You know, like, we all know that we're going to get through those kind of things if we do that, but still you have to, it's how you approach it. And, you know, my mom, we just approach this in the most positive way. Like, I remember asking her one time, you know, her side of the story, you know, later in life. And she was telling me that when some days it was like, it was just so tough to even get out of bed, she'd say, right? But she always did. And she said, when I couldn't get out of bed for myself, I would do it for you kids. And what I found out was that if I just kept putting one foot in front of the other, essentially, right? These small little things, we could get through any situation, right? And so my mom, so you think of that mentality, that mindset, it's shrinking it down into these small little steps. And if she was ever stressed, or which I'm sure she was, emotionally, physically, all the above, right? But, like, I swear my life, I never knew, because she was just the happiest person. She believed that, you know, laughter brings, you know, happiness, and happiness is positivity, and positivity breeds success, and just approach everything with happiness. But it's because of what you focus on, right? If you focus on things that you can't control, then how shitty things are going to continue to be shitty. But if you focus on what you can control, you can then create the situation. So,
oh my gosh, that's so powerful. Well, and to think, like, you know, you have a family, and I have a family, and it's like, I can't imagine, you know, going about my own two children solo without my you know, amazing husband who does so, you know, it's such collaboration between us, that four kids on your own and making it work with a smile on your face.
Oh, like, geez.
That's extraordinary. I think about it all the time. Mom is amazing.
Oh, amazing. And you know, it's perspective for me too, because I totally agree with you, by the way. Like, being an adult now, being a parent now, and now looking back at an even different perspective, I'm like, how in the world did you juggle that, right? And juggle that with such grace, you know, just the way you did is incredible. And it's perspective for me, because no matter what I'm going through, and this sounds bad, this is going to sound bad how I say this, but no matter what I'm going through, I look at someone who has it harder than I do, right? And that might sound bad, but it puts things into perspective of, like, okay, this deal is, you know, tough to get to close, or maybe it didn't close, or maybe, you know, these, whatever it is, something that's happening. And it's like, okay, let's put it into perspective here. You're okay. You're going to be just fine. You know, fear, uncertainty. And you even look at 2020, right? Uncertainty is the epitome of 2020. There's just this, you know, so much uncertainty out there, and what was going on, the coronavirus, but overcoming uncertainty is just key to growth and progression. And uncertainty, so uncertainty, first off, it comes from things happening that are outside of our external, you know, environment, right? Things that we don't understand, we can't control. And I believe that we combat that kind of stuff by asking specific questions. Like the quality of our life and our, you know, performance or really anything we're doing is really linked to the questions that we ask ourselves. And if you ask your, you think about this, like you ask your brain a question, it has no other option but to go about starting to answer that question, whatever you feed it, right? And so putting one foot in front of the other, that's what my mom just kept doing, asking the right questions. The tough part though is a lot of times we ask the wrong questions, right? With the stinking thinking type stuff. We ask questions like, gosh, why does this always happen to me? You know, why this, why now, why whatever, things that we can't control, which means our uncertainty increases because we're asking questions about things we can't control. And so now it's more out of control and we become more uncertain. But if we ask questions, in fact, the Navy SEALs have this thing called the 3-foot world or something. And I think that's what they call it. And essentially in the height of uncertainty, you bring it down into these basic questions of like, what can I control right now, right? And then what happens is you answer that question. And when you answer that question, you determine, you define, your brain goes to work defining what you can control. You choose it, you act upon it, and you move forward. You know, define what you can control, move forward towards it. And then you get this, you know, this hit of dopamine, and then you rinse and you repeat. So, you know, people thinking that it's just an anomaly. No, it's not. It's asking the right questions. And when we do that, right, and we continue to move forward, uncertainty fades and, you know, your confidence once again grows, you know, and then progress is made. And then all of a sudden you're talking to people about how to do those same things, which is an awesome thing.
It is really interesting how uncertainty can just wreak havoc on people in general. And I think that we've had it so easy, such a cushioned, we get to live in air conditioned buildings, or for me, a heated room. I've got a little heater down here by my feet. Like, you know, we get to live this really easy life in, you know, for those of us in first world countries, all to be specific. Right. And so we're so used to being in control or thinking and believing that we're in control. Like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to get my groceries. I'm going to go out to dinner. I'm going to, you know, turn my laundry machine on, have my coffee. Like we can just do these things so easily, but we forget how fragile we really are. And that lack of gratitude that is like, wow, this is a gift. Like every single thing is such a gift to just receive it and to be grateful and say it could go away at any moment. So I'm going to enjoy it with like amazing happiness and gratitude.
Totally. That's gratitude is key. You know, like, I don't know who is credited to saying this. I always credit Tony Robbins, but he says, you know, life is happening for you, not to you, right? Mm-hmm. And that is so true. I'm one of the classes that I was teaching, I'll never forget this. The guy's name was Derek, and he was telling me the story about his aunt who, and I aspire to be like this, man, because I'm not, let's be honest. It's easy to be positive and happy and, you know, growth oriented when everything's going great, but when things aren't, that's the most important time. And he tells me that he grew up with his aunt and she had been working through Christmas, multiple jobs, like making sure that they had Christmas. And she had just got her paycheck or something and, you know, walked in and cashed it, had the cash, goes to walk in the house, pulls the keys out to, you know, open the door, and then gets upstairs and realizes that the cash has fallen out somewhere along the way there, right? So he runs down, sees where the cash had fallen out of her pocket or whatever and into the snow, and like somebody had scooped up the snow. It was a fresh snow, he said, right? And he saw like this scoop in the snow and he started bawling and he's like, dude, I didn't start to cry because I wasn't going to get Christmas. I started to cry because I knew my auntie had worked so hard for that. And he walked up to and told his auntie or whatever, and she just is like, oh, child, like, don't even worry about that. Like, that's a blessing to somebody else. You know, that's a blessing. They must have needed it more than we did. And geez, dude, like, I would like to think I would react that way in that situation, but I probably wouldn't. But here's the thing. That's the only way that's serving, right? That's so wise because it's the only way that is serving. Harboring hate or, you know, frustration or pity doesn't get you anywhere, right? But remembering that in the height of uncertainty or challenges, wherever we're going through, is, yeah, so important. Something I'm trying to learn more and more, you know, as we go through life.
But I think that it's something that you have to like learn and churn. Like you learn it for a certain level in life and maybe you come to a point of acceptance and then you go through another churning in life because you're not stagnant, you're growing and that growth process is messy and uncomfortable. And you've gotten almost like staircases or an escalator, right? And you're going up and it's getting better. It's like, oh, look how easy this is. Oh, I'm going to go up a level. Oh, that kind of little bit of pain. So it might make a little sense. Like we might feel like we've been successful in some areas and then we grow through that growth spurt, but we couldn't have gone through that growth spurt like a baby, right? A baby can't just all of a sudden go through puberty. They have to like go through all the growing pain and get their teeth and, you know, all this stuff, right?
That's it. Have you ever read the book, The Alchemist, before?
Oh, I haven't. It's on the list. Yeah, it's on my future list.
And all your readers, you go read The Alchemist. And I'll tell you, it's a story, you know, and it's exactly what we talked about. I mean, I could give a premise of the story, but there's so many bits and pieces. You want me to give a premise of the story?
Like, absolutely. Okay. Yes.
One of my favorite books. I swear to God, there's books that I read every year. That one I read 3 times last year is the best. Okay. Okay. And it's this boy that lives in Spain and he's a shepherd and he has this dream, depicts him like by an old abandoned church underneath this tree. And he has this dream that there is treasure buried in the pyramids of Egypt. And he looks at that as, I think they call it like his personal legend. And I call it a definite major purpose, like whatever drives you, right? That goal. And he decides he's going to sell all of his sheep and go on pursuit of his personal legend, crosses over the desert, over the ocean into Africa, gets all of his money stolen day one. And it depicts him sitting in this city square and he said, everyone's gone. He doesn't know anybody. He has no more money. And he says something along the lines of like, I can view myself as a poor victim of a thief or as an adventurer looking for his treasure, right? And that's key because in life, no matter what we're going through, it's everything is how we perceive it to be, right? Everything happens, nothing happens outside the mind. It's all how we perceive it to be. So he perceives him, or he decides to view himself as an adventurer looking for his treasure. Next day, he sees this crystal merchant that has like the crystals all dusty. And he's hungry. The boy's hungry. Dude, he wants some food. He goes to the crystal merchant. He's like, hey, do you have, you know, if I clean up your crystal, you're not going to sell any of this unless it's dusty. If I clean it off, will you give me some food? And the crystal merchant doesn't say anything. Well, now it's like he has to make a decision too, right? And this is in life too. Sometimes we don't know what the outcome will be, but we have to make a decision. Do I go a different direction or do I clean the crystal and just pray to God that he feeds me, right? Well, he decides to clean the crystal. And then the crystal merchant takes him to lunch and he says, you know, you didn't have to clean that crystal. I would have, it's part of my religion that if I see somebody that's hungry, I have to feed him. And the boy's like, what the hell? They're like, why did you make me clean the crystal? He's like, cause I knew that you needed to clean the crystal to feel worthy of, you know, lunch. And then they work together. He learns a new language. He makes the crystal merchant a lot of money. He makes a lot of money. He, you know, makes enough more money than he had initially, crosses over the, you know, goes back on pursuit of his personal legend, loses a bunch of money, makes more money, loses money, makes more money, almost dies, makes it to the pyramids and starts digging up his treasure. And as he's digging up this treasure, some guys come, thieves or whatever, come and start beating him to death, right? And at the end, you know, as he's like about to die, and this is crazy too, because he says, I'm okay if I die right now because I died on pursuit of my personal, you know, my personal legend, like on pursuit of, you know, what was bringing meaning into my life. And they ask him like, what are you doing here anyway? And he's like, I'm digging for treasure, right? Like yells it out. And they're like, oh, dude's nuts. Like dude's crazy. Like leave him alone, you know? And then one circles back though. And I love this part. One circles back and he says, don't you know you shouldn't, you know, cross the desert looking for treasure? I had a dream once that there was treasure buried in Spain underneath this tree by an old abandoned church, which is where the boy had his initial dream. And he said, you didn't see me crossing the desert looking for that, right? And the boy just starts to laugh. And that's another thing, though. They both had the same dream, right? So think about this. They both had the same experience, the same dream that there was treasure buried somewhere else that they had to travel to. One person pursues it. The boy pursues that, has experienced all these ups and downs, dude, trials, everything, and is okay if he dies because he's experienced those things. The other person turned into a cynic, a thief, is now trying to steal money from people. Same dream, different actions led to different outcomes, right? And then obviously the boy crosses over, digs up, you know, back into Spain, digs up the treasure. But it's all about how the
journey. He had to go all the way back.
All the way back, right? But the thing is, if he would have just dug it up right in the beginning, like you said, you know, an infant turn, you know, hitting puberty or whatever, we have to go through the steps, but it's this continual reminder that we have to go through it. If he would have just dug it up right in the beginning, he wouldn't have had the life experiences. He wouldn't have enjoyed it, and he wouldn't have kept it. It's one thing to acquire wealth. It's another thing to keep it. So anyway, I love that book. You should read it for sure.
It sounds like a book I should be reading. My kids are a little older. They're 12 and 10, like old enough to receive. Sounds like a really good family read.
They would read. They would love it. I promise you, it's a great family read. It's awesome.
Oh, that is really powerful. So what are some of the, if you don't mind, like, what are some of the things that have forged you along the way that have made you grateful for where you are and better prepared for the next challenge?
Oh, I love that question. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot. One is growing up for sure. I mentioned that my mom was a single mom. Well, I was the man of the house, man. And I had a front row seat to a lot, you know, and I wouldn't say that we were, you know, in poverty, but we definitely saw struggles, you know. I mean, I had a front row seat to cars being repossessed and houses, you know, being foreclosed on that we had to move out of, and, you know, the pantry dwindling with food. Those things were challenging, man. And just like having this new identity of the man of the house, I felt this sense of responsibility that like I had to do something for myself. I had to do something for my family. And that forced me to take massive action. You know, I started my first business when I was 16. I cleaned people's blinds that they had in their home. It was a great, great job, right? Or great business. But it made me very curious about wealth, you know, those struggles. And I, you know, having to work, my buddies, you know, aren't having to work. And I always had to work. And I remember like that was challenging to me because, you know, they're all having fun and I'm having to go to work. And I thought this sucks. You know, my perspective is this sucks. And, you know, I grew up in a place where it snowed like you do, and waking up in the mornings and having everyone, you know, all these kids, well, first they have their dads to help them shovel the snow, but they didn't even have shovels. They had snow blowers. We didn't have a snow blower.
That's a big difference. If you don't live in a snowy area, the difference between shoveling and snow blowing is night and day.
Huge difference. Huge difference. And I remember just laying in bed, man, and I would just pray that somebody would come and snow blow my driveway. It rarely happened. But waking up every morning then like forcing myself to get out there and serve, right? Serve my mom. Cause I sure as shit wasn't going to have my mom do it. Jeez. I don't know. Just hit a little memory cord right there. I don't know. But it here's the thing though, that I'm so grateful for that, because what that did is it showed me that as shitty as it was to wake up early in the morning, man, and get out in the cold and shovel, dude, it was a service to my mom, you know, and that made me feel good about myself. And it also helped me realize that I call them separators. You know, it's very rarely that we accomplish things that we accomplish more than we truly feel like we deserve, but those separators make you feel like you deserve things. And that is a separator, getting up and doing things that other people view as hard, or even the past you view as hard, right? And those little separators forge you into always wanting to do those things, right? Because you see the growth that happens there, and just seeing it from a different perspective of how that work and that hard work, man, that hard work, that sacrifice, really led into everything else that I was doing in life. Like, success takes sacrifice in the short term for long-term gains. You know, long-term success comes from a whole bunch of short-term sacrifices. And that work that I'm doing to sacrifice for my, you know, family, to provide income, passive income, apartments, all those kind of things, it's no harder than what it was waking up early and going to shovel snow in the cold. It's just a different type of hard, you know? So I know I can do that shit because I've already done that. You know, I've been there, done that. I got it. No worries. You know, confidence grows. So there's a lot of those little things that have forged me like into that growth, right? And gratitude. And I'm not the most successful multifamily investor out there. I'm not the best instructor, teacher, whatever, because I teach classes a whole bunch, but I'm grateful for sure. Very grateful, because my life is very different. Then, dude, my life's different than it was even 5 years ago, let alone growing up. It's a very, very different life. And I'll forever be grateful for that. I never want to lose that. So
you are the alchemist. You realize that. Like, this is why the story is like so dear to your heart. Like, it's almost like reading your personal tale. You know, you had to the snow blowing is almost like the equivalent of polishing up that crystal and stuff, like in order for you to feel worthy in this, the journey and everything. And I think it's also part and course for humans who are willing to engage the journey. But
yeah,
like, since you just kind of gave the premise of the story and now you're sharing this, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you are the alchemist. Yes. But you know, what's funny is we all have them though. We all have those little things that if we took a second, and this is why I think I'll forever be grateful for opportunities to tell my story, because having opportunities to tell your story makes you think back of, well, shit, what is my story, you know? And I remember the first multifamily investment class I ever went to, I remember sitting there thinking, dude, I would love to be like, this guy's up here telling a story, right? And I'm like, man, I would love to be that dude. Like, I'm gonna have a great story. And I would sit in bed, and this is so powerful. I didn't even realize what I was doing, but I do now, and it's very powerful, which is I would tell my story, not just to where I was, but I would tell my story even like, And then I closed this deal, that deal, this deal, this and this happened and that happened. None of that had happened, right? That's the future. But I was telling my story because it's, you know, something that I wanted to do. And then all of a sudden you start to view these things in a different light, because your story can help you or hurt you, right? So many times we get stuck in, well, this is where I'm at because this is my story. This is what happened to me. This is how I grew up. These are the challenges that I've had. This is whatever, right? And we get stuck in that story, but somehow, and this is like, you know, luck. I feel like life is sometimes I get lucky, and I feel like I got lucky because somehow I started to tell that story in the form of positive, not negative, you know? And this is where I am because of this, like same thing, right? It's the same thing that happened. And that's why it led to this versus, well, because of this, now I don't have this, right? I just started to reframe, it's a different perspective. And and once again, maybe that's luck. I don't know, but I'm so grateful for it because it drove change and still drives change in my life. So.
Isn't it powerful? It's like rewriting the narrative and just going through, if life was a script, you go through and it's like, you know, let's just edit and let's tell the story from a different perspective. And it's like strike through and shift from scarcity mindset to abundance mindset, or shift from, and just like rewriting the exact same script or narrative from a different perspective.
Oh, that's exactly it. And we have the ability to do that, man. The human race is the only species that can create new things. A sheep creates wool, period, is what it creates, you know? Like, we can wake up and whatever it is that we can create. And that's an amazing thing to remember. But we can only do that if we, you know, if we take ownership and put away the victim side, right? Take ownership for our journey, take ownership for rewriting that script, like you said. I love that.
I have to go back to the sheep though. The sheep make really good lamb chops. I just had to.
Gosh, I need to come up with a new analogy. I came up with it on the fly. And you're right.
I should probably shouldn't go there. Not everyone will appreciate that.
No, that's funny. Oh my God. That's funny. If you don't think that's funny, then you know what? You need a different perspective. Okay. Rewrite your story.
Rewrite it and laugh. You know what? I could go into that. I have so many ways to make this so much funnier. I wish I could talk for another 2 hours because I appreciate the power of your approach to life and the narrative that you are choosing to write for your life and for your future. And that it's just amazing what that is doing for you, for your family. But I just want to encourage you also that the ripple effect, and I'm a huge believer in the ripple effect. Some people, you know, might call it the butterfly effect, but just by nature of you telling your story, by nature of you living your life in a particular way, even as a teenager, it just casts a pebble into I always picture like a lake up here where I live, like you throw that pebble in there and then it just ripples out. And you don't know who and what that ripple touches or how strong that ripple is, but it's really cool because you're having this really powerful ripple effect in the world. In my opinion, it's a very positive one. So let me add that. It's a positive ripple.
No. Yeah. There we go. I hope so. Yeah. I love that. And it's, you know, it's interesting because that drives me so much, you know, it drives me so much like to have an impact and to, I was just having a company meeting. So we have our investment side, which is Multifamily Capital Partners. And then we have an education company that's called Multifamily Mindset. And we were just having, we call it the Maui meeting. And each month I get together with all the employees through Zoom and we have a meeting, right? And we were just talking about why I started the company even. And the education company, the reason I started that is I was at my buddy's funeral and a really good buddy of mine grew up together, played baseball together all of her lives. And it just flying home from that funeral was, situations like that make you think of your life, right? And how you want to be remembered. And I remember flying home and just being like, I want people to, you know, show up to my funeral and be like, that dude changed my effing life. You know, that dude changed my life. And so I want to, but in order for me to do that, you have to put yourself out there. You have to do big things and scary things and, you know, whatever that is. You have to make a choice to do those kind of things. And but that's how we create, you know, choice is how we create, you know. And so that first off, that's why we started the education company, because the investment company, listen, that will change my life. That changed my life, you know, my family's life, sure. But my investors aren't going to show up to my funeral and be like, that guy got me a 25% return and that changed my life. Like, that's not going to happen. They're going to be grateful. It's not going to happen. But these, you know, individuals who come to our trainings and learn how to acquire apartments and but it's more than just that though. It's mindset. We're huge on mindset. We're huge on just everything that we've talked about. We haven't talked about real estate this whole time. It's because really my biggest passion that I could talk about for freaking hours is that mindset, ownership. It's because I played the victim for a long time in my life, longer than I've probably played the, you know, the ownership card. And choice, I believe, is the most spiritual thing that we can do. You know, people will say, if you would ask them the most spiritual thing, they'd probably say pray or go to church or whatever. It's choice. We choose to go to church. We choose to pray. We choose to serve. We have to, it's choice, right? Choice is how we create. It's how we become worthy of guidance. You know, it's how we show faith. It's and how we gain confidence. It's choice. If we don't choose to do something, then we can't have guidance. And too many times we sit back in worry about making a choice because we think it's finite. And it's not. Once we make a choice, then we can get guidance in either direction. But if we do not make a choice, we can't get guidance. We can't progress. And, you know, if someone isn't, I'll say this, somebody listening to this, if they aren't living up to their potential, they're not creating, you know, they're probably not creating. And that's usually because they're stuck in indecision, or which makes them a victim of something or somebody else, right? So we have to make choices to be able to truly create. And I think that's the best thing that we can do with our lives, good or bad, man, because we can always pivot no matter where we're at.
Okay. Well, this is so profound. It's just so amazing. And I want to point out that there's this like transition between the transition. Like you could be the victim for so many years. And then the moment you make that choice to no longer be a victim and to make a choice in your life, it's amazing. Like, okay, victim, let's just say for 20 years, what you can accomplish in 3 to 5 years, once you make that choice to no longer be that, it just completely annihilates, just diminishes the 20 years. And I can look back. For me, I can look back and say like, why didn't I make that choice sooner? Like, wow, I'd be like seven. But that's the narrative I had to walk in order to get to where I am. So, you know, just acceptance, like, okay, well, that's it. Move on. Past doesn't define you.
Oh, and it's so many, like there's big decisions like that. And then there's so many just day-to-day little decisions with choices and how we decide to view things. Smallest things, man. I was just talking about this too, but it's so funny to me because, so I'm driving down the road here and this black sports car is cutting me off, right? Cutting off a few other people, cuts me off, and they're flying through. And I'm like, geez almighty, who is this freaking guy? And now I'm going to turn left and he's going straight. And I get in the left lane. I'm like, I'm going to freaking mean mug this. I'm going to mean mug them, you know? And I pull up this left turn lane. Let him know I'm not happy. I roll my window down and I'm like, peek over, give him this, you know, mean mug look. And I look over and it is this blue haired old lady with gigantic glasses. Okay. Gigantic glasses. And immediately I was like, this is the coolest chick in the world. This is the coolest chick in the world. Like nothing changed. Nothing about that environment changed except for my perspective about that, right? Which once again, nothing happens outside the mind. It's all how we perceive it to be. But there's these little choices in our life. Like we can either choose to be irritated by something, or we can choose to not be irritated or see the greatness in something, or choose to just eliminate that something. You know, so much in life, I believe like it's so much is certainly making choices to do things, but it's also making choices to remove things. There's so many things that just don't move the needle, remove it. I don't need to talk about, you know, how so-and-so and so-and-so are idiots. And I don't go down that route. It takes too much energy, you know?
You know what? I'm very cautious about what I allow my brain to sweat over. And it's like, do I really need, if I'm working out in the gym and I'm sweating because I'm lifting weights, it's because I want to get stronger. And if I am like having a brain that is sweating over thoughts that aren't going to progress me forward or impact my life or my world or whatever in a positive way of growth, why am I thinking about it? It's like, just stop sweating over it. I can't change mask mandates, whatever. I don't need to discuss it anymore. Like, let me move on. I don't need to sweat over it.
Oh my gosh. It's so true. The mask mandates, like the great thing. It's like, you just focus on what you can control, right? Take ownership for all of that stuff. And you know, the news, I'm so cognizant of that too. Like I don't watch the news, and I don't, because dude, it's negative. Like I cannot, I don't need to know or want to know about a whole bunch of people that got murdered in some movie theater. And it's not because I'm, you know, apathetic. That's because that affects me to my core at a deep level. And I don't even blame the news for that. Like the news, you know what their job is? Their job is to sell the news. And guess what sells more? Yeah, it sells more than anything is negativity. So that's their job. Their job is to sell the news. Our job is to not be dumb consumers. And, you know, taking good stuff, like that's our job.
It's so funny. It's my husband was just telling me earlier today, actually, that it was at 800%. They did this big research thing and negative news sells 800% better than positive news and everything. And I've said before, I think on different episodes of the podcast that like the news is designed to make money. It's all about advertising. So like they're selling. And so you know, we actually can control the news to some extent by just censoring them. Like, well,
that's it. Yeah. Being a smart consumer, man, turning it off, focus on other things. Totally. Totally.
Agree. Yeah. What you focus on grows. And so I being very mindful of that. Oh my gosh, Tyler, you are so, I already knew we were going to, I told you before we, off air, I'm like, this is going to be exceptional. We're going to have a great time. And, and I said, no pressure, right? But what a great time. And what a great, I know that this is going to serve a lot of people well, because these are things that are common to human beings. And this is nothing like, we're not snowflakes. We share a lot of common experiences. They're unique, they're different, but they bring about the same struggle, the same growth, the same potential, the same. So I just appreciate you just having this amazing dialogue.
No, I appreciate the opportunity. I do. I love, there's so much value in what you do. I listen to your podcast. I've listened, and I love your little blips that you do. Like, you interview people, that, but then I also love your blips that you do with just you spitting knowledge, right? The little smaller blips. I love them. And I eat it up, dude, because that kind of stuff, I can't listen to it enough, you know? So to have an opportunity to be a voice on your podcast, always humbling, always grateful. I appreciate it a ton. So thank you.
Oh my goodness. To all you fantastic listeners, you are amazing. And I am so excited for the path that you are on. And live in acceptance. Don't judge yourself. Don't criticize yourself over where you are and what you did in the past, right? Like, focus on, where am I now? What's the next choice that I need to make to live the life of my dreams, and visualize that life of your dreams? Just like Tyler was talking about, you know, even speak, like, definitely speaking it out loud is really powerful. So take time and tell yourself that narrative and live it out in your mind. And until next time, you guys, go find your freedom.
Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of Ask Me How I Know. This episode was brought to you by Three Keys Investments. They are dedicated to helping people like you. Yeah, you, my awesome listeners, develop passive income and legacy wealth through multifamily investing. Feel free to check out their website, threekeysinvestments.com, to see if there is an offering that will help your portfolio grow and meet all of your needs. If you haven't already rated, reviewed, subscribed, liked, all of those bells and whistles, I would be absolutely honored if you would do that for Ask Me How I Know. Thanks again, and go make it a great day.